Shall I introduce it in a way or just start? Okay. So, about Le Boucher. People from near and far came to Le Boucher in their dispute, and she made twice settlements between these opposing parties. At that time, two neighbors had a fight, and the fight was about their boundaries and role. So they both hurried to Vyšehrad to see Le Boucher. And the younger one accused the elder one of wanting limits and draws against the law. And the elder jumped into his speech and demanded and wanted it done in his way. And Le Boucher, she declared that the younger was wronged, that the roles and the limits were on his side. And she had not finished speaking, and already the elder one started to yell and cry. And he says, that's how it works here, a woman of a long hair but short mind. She knows how to sew with a needle, but no, she doesn't know how to judge people. Let her sew, but let her not judge. Shame on us men. Where else do men rule over women? And her response is, it's like this, I'm a woman and I do behave like a woman. I do not judge you with an iron, as men do. You seem to think that I understand the situation a little. So it is necessary that you should have a stricter duke than I am. So then have him, and your request will be granted. Now you should go home with peace and let the General Assembly choose a duke. And whomsoever they choose, I will have him for my husband. And the day after, during the General Assembly, she said that people do not appreciate the freedom she was giving them. And she had seen it and she had really tried it, but also that's why she decided that she will no longer rule over the land, because in their hearts, people desire a male ruler, a duke who will take sons and daughters into his service. But she says she's okay with that, but that people should choose the prince or duke wisely and carefully. And then she navigates them according to a vision she had, that there's a river called Bielina in Lemuze, and she says that there's the duke who plows with two spotted oxen, and that people should take a rope and change his clothes that are fitting for a future prince. And she also predicts that his name is Přemysl, that she lives in this land, and that the horse, which is owned by Le Boucher, will lead them, and that they should follow the horse because he knows the way. And when he will take them to Přemysl, then they should take right way to Vyšehrad. And so the horse led people there, and that's how they found Přemysl and how he married Le Boucher. And together they spent, they were on Vyšehrad to reign the country. And one day, while Le Boucher is showing Přemysl the area around, she has a vision, and it's a very famous prophecy where she's standing on a cliff in Vyšehrad area, and she's looking in far, on opposite bank of the river to Strahov Hill. And she says that she sees big city that will be that famous as stars are. And there in the forest, there's the place where a big castle should be erected and built. And this is how the first prophecy about Prague was born, and so people started to build a new castle according to this Le Boucher's prophecy about Praha, which became a castle that was so heavy and so big that was the place of kings afterwards. Now I will continue with Maidens War, the first part. So basically Libuše was living with Přemysl on Vyšehrad, but when she died, the girls of her company saw that they were no longer in the same esteem as they had been in their mistress' lifetime. And it was very hard for them to bear it. They bitterly remember those days when the princess ruled the land and all men said to them with a smile, "You have reigned, we have worshipped you, and now you are like sheep going astray." And out of a desire for a power and revenge, the maidens took up swords and began a fierce fight against men. And everything was led by Vlasta, who was the fiercest woman and who was the one who called for the battle. And women built a castle as their refuge on the hill, which was little higher than Vyšehrad, and which was located on the opposite bank of the river, and the name of the castle is Děvín. So women were preparing for the fight while men from Vyšehrad watched them, and they were amused and mocked them as they practiced the weapons and horse ride. Only Přemysl, who still was present at Vyšehrad, was very gloomy and said to men, "Hear why I don't laugh with you. You will not laugh either if you had the vision I saw in my dreams today. It was night and the air was full of smoke, and in the glow of the fire I saw a girl with long hair that were waving under her helmet she was wearing, and she had a sword in one hand and a goblet in the other. And on the ground so many men were laying, and they were killed in dust and blood. And he says that, 'I warn you by this vision, please hear my speech and please do take it seriously.' But men, of course, they did not take Přemysl's advice seriously, and they decided to flock to Děvín. And girls did not stay on the walls, but they also didn't flee. They went straight out of the gate, and Vlasta immediately put them into battle in front of the castle. And she was sitting on a horse wearing armor and helmet on her head, and spoke fiercely to the girls, telling them not to be afraid and fight bravely. She cried, 'If we let ourselves be overpowered, men will laugh at us. You will be slaves, and it is better to perish than to be at their mercy. Beat everyone, whoever he is, if it's brother or father.' So men, they were no longer laughing. They were bleeding and falling in rows. The fight didn't last very long. 300 men were killed, and Děvín and all the surrounding countryside echoed with the joyful voices of the girls winning the battle." And that's how the Maidens War ended up. And now let's get to Ctirad, who was a young, brave duke who Vlasta hated most. One summer day, Ctirad was riding his men through the fields. They were in a short distance from Prague Castle, on the way to Prague Castle, and the sun was shining, and in this countryside everything was silent, water, trees and birds. And only the human voice echoed once more in this dead silence, and it was a very strong human cry. So Ctirad, together with his men, stopped and listened to this voice, and they followed it. As they rounded the rock, they stopped their horses, and it was very, very interesting what they saw. They saw an old oak, which was very close to this rock, And under this oak, a maiden laid. She was tied to the trunk with a rope. And she was crying, and she was in a grief, and asking them for help to untie her, to loose her, and to have mercy on her. And Stirat leaped from his horse and took his sword to untie this young girl. He cut the ropes and released her, but he didn't know that a message had been brought to Vlasta the day before, that he would ride this way to Prague Castle, and that Vlasta had made all arrangements to prevent his return, and that this girl was serving her in this. So when he untied her, she thanked Tudstirat and told him that her name was Šárka, the daughter of Vlasta, that the maidens from Děvín dragged her to the castle and put her to this oak. And she said that they tied her so tightly that she couldn't even move. And as a mockery, she told him that they hanged up a horn for her that might be used for crying for the help. And also they gave her a jar of honey liqueur that she might be useful when she would be thirsty. And so Tstirat was sitting beside her and took this bottle to strengthen up after she drank as well. And meanwhile, his men, they were very tired, so they lay down in a shadow to cool themselves a bit because it was lunchtime. The weather was very hot and they were very sleepy. While Tstirat was listening to the speech of Šárka, which was very thankful, he was listening to her delicious voice, and they were drinking this honey liqueur together. And then suddenly he took the horn and he pressed it to his lips and blew in it very strongly. And that's how the horn and the sound of the horn interrupted the dead silence of the countryside. And suddenly there was a wild cry far, far away. And a group of armed girls rushed there and started to occupy the group of Tstirat and Šárka. And they started to beat the group of men. Meanwhile, Tstirat wanted to join to his comrades, but before he could take his weapon, he fell on the ground and women bound him around the oak. All the women, they laughed together and they were mocking men because they beaten them again. And yeah, this is how this part of Prague got its name, which is there till nowadays, and it's called Divoká Šárka, which means wild Šárka, and it's called after this girl. So now women together with Tstirat are very happy that they succeeded again, so they are going with Tstirat to Děvín Castle back. But during this journey, the information about this battle spread it outside of Prague, and men from Vyšehrad got very, very angry. So they started to fight with women when they reached Děvín Castle again. They took some women back to Vyšehrad and they were fighting in anger because of Tstirat and his men. Then eventually they kill Vlasta as well, who was fighting in the most fierce way. And afterwards, women were really weak now, and they started to beg men to save them, and suddenly they recognized their former husbands, their brothers, their fathers. And so many women died. And afterwards, men decided to destroy Děvín Castle as well. So now just dust is left on this place. And this is how the maidens were ended. And afterwards, Přemysl was the duke again, and he was reigning alone without a woman's support. So this is how order and law came back to the country.
Thank you. So it doesn't say this part that the Shalka jumps from the cliff?
No, no, it's not mentioned here, which is surprising. Different stories, it happens directly at the end of this story, or I don't know. But here it's not mentioned, which surprised me.
But it's interesting because, if I understood correctly, also they kept on rephrasing the story, right? Maybe also just not mentioning her anymore is also a way of taking away her legacy. Like she disappears into nothing.
It's strange because this part, it really surprised me because it's very short, because I remember when I was a kid and I was reading it in primary school, that especially this part about these battles, the last battle is like super long, but here it's just for these 2 pages. And suddenly, she just disappears, and it shifts to Vlasta again, who is killed, and Šárka is not mentioned there at all. I don't know, it was written in 1890-something, I guess, from Mirásek. This version is 1929, maybe in older versions there is... Šárka is mentioned, like the end of Šárka is mentioned, because it's this like signature story, which people, even though they don't know the story about Šárka and the whole war, they know that she jumped from the rock. So.
And then it doesn't happen in the book.
Yeah.